Chapter 3 of You Ain't Never Had a Friend Like Me, written by Munseeker and read by Tough Paper Round. Text from Buck. Would it be okay if I stayed with you for a couple of days? Because he has only just opened his eyes, Eddie doesn't understand any of the words on his phone. He blinks, rubs them, rolls his head in his pillow a bit, and then tries to read again. Oh. Text from Eddie. Of course you can. Stay as long as you want. Everything okay? Buck. Thank you. I'll explain when I get to you. More alert now and a little concerned, Eddie swings his feet out of bed and starts his day. Christopher is already awake and humming some theme song from a game he plays that Eddie sometimes watches. They exercise, shower, talk about the day ahead over breakfast, then sing along to the radio on the way to school. A good morning so far. Because Buck is coming over and staying, which is an added bonus that Eddie is excited about, he stops by a bakery to pick up some muffins, planning on giving the house a quick, unnecessary tidy before Buck arrives. Pulling into his drive, Eddie is surprised to see that Buck is already there, leaning against his Jeep with his arms crossed and his head bowed. When he hears Eddie, he lifts his head and gives a half wave and a not quite smile. Eddie parks up quickly and climbs out. Hi, you could have let yourself in, Eddie says, leaning back in for the muffins. Hi, Eddie. Oh no, that's Buck's dejected voice. Eddie is helpless but to give him a hug. What happened? He asks, as Buck slowly raises his arm around him and sighs against Eddie's shoulder. I really don't know. Okay, then how about coffee and muffins? And we can talk about it. I forgot to bring lunch. We're fine, seriously, come on, Eddie says, nodding towards the house, then looking around them. You didn't bring a bag? Sighing, Buck walks around the back of the Jeep. Oh. There is an overnight bag and Buck's work bag and three other large overly stuffed bags as well. I didn't know where to put them. Oh, Buck. Eddie grabs hold of two, adjusts his stance so he can take a third, then staggers back. In. Come on, we'll figure it out. Clearly dazed, Buck follows him inside. He's so out of it that Eddie ends up helping slip the bags from his shoulders. He won't push, not until Buck is ready, and to be honest, he might need a really strong coffee for this first anyway. Finally, sitting in the kitchen with a plate of muffins between them and warm mugs in their hands, Eddie gently prompts him to start talking. I really don't know what happened, Eddie. I swear I don't. It's okay. Tell me. Buck tries his coffee, pulling a face when it's too hot. I stayed at Maddie's last night because we got back pretty late. I left early because she was working and I pull up outside my apartment block. There's a removal van there. I don't think much about it until I go to my apartment. I walk in. Everything is in boxes. What? How? Sighing, Buck reaches into his jacket pocket. No, he hasn't got around to taking it off yet, and pulls out an envelope. Without a word, he slides it over to Eddie. There has to be some mistake, some misunderstanding. As Eddie reads, he gets increasingly confused. According to the paperwork in front of him, Buck's landlord gave him a month's notice, and not only gave him his full deposit back, but also gave him 6 months' rent to compensate him for having to move out. Which makes no sense. What also doesn't make sense is that the landlord has also paid for storage of Buck's furniture, and though Buck is adamant he didn't do it, all his personal possessions were boxed up ready to move. Still dazed, Buck shows him the storage unit key and his bank balance on his phone, then looks to Eddie helplessly. I didn't know where else to go. Yes, you did. You came right here, exactly where you were supposed to. This place is your home, okay? For as long as you need it. Home. Buck's home. Buck's home. Hildy! With rage starting to burn in his chest, Eddie forces himself to sip some coffee in an attempt to calm. Would you excuse me for a minute? He says, patting Buck on the shoulder in passing when he stands. Hearing his dejected sigh when he leaves the kitchen makes Eddie's blood boil. Well, he is easy on the eye. Don't you even! Eddie hisses at Hildy, who is chuckling quite happily to herself. Well, he is. Eddie points at the device, glowering down at it, then points to the kitchen. You! Did you do this? It was what you asked for, Hildy says in the most reasonable of voices. You said you wanted Buck to realise that his home was with you and Christopher. Well, here he is. He's going to curse, yanking out Hildy's wires. Be careful, Eddie! Eddie stomps through the house and closes his bedroom door. Oh, I think you have the wrong person in here, Eddie. I think it's Buck you actually want in your bedroom, not little old me. As gently as it's possible to do when he is so angry, Eddie puts Hildy down on a dresser. What the hell were you thinking? What do you mean? I didn't mean for you to make him homeless, for fuck's sake. Oh, don't be so dramatic. He's been well compensated. And the only place he could think of coming to was yours. Now that should tell you something, don't you think? Yeah. When he had nowhere else, he came to me. What did I say to you about not trying to force him into feeling things he didn't? Edmundo Diaz, Hildy says in a tone that is suspiciously like Abuela's on the rare occasions she is telling him off. There isn't any forcing that man to love you, or care about you, or see you as his home. He already does that. So get off your high horse. I've every right to be on my high horse, and accept this for what it is. An opportunity for good things for you both. He didn't like the apartment anyway. You know he didn't. And how do you know that? Eddie asks, very close to growling. Hildy clears her throat. Is she embarrassed? What else has this thing done to screw with his world? Oh, it must be bad if she isn't answering. Hildy seems pretty pleased with the sound of her own voice, usually. Hildy, I promised you that I wouldn't go snooping in your phone, and I have kept that promise. Yeah, make sure you do. But, as we discussed before, I already had a sneak peek before you told me not to. It was obvious he didn't like it. And for good reason. Sterile, cold, square box of a thing. This place, though, Hildy says with an impressed little whistle, as though she is looking around. This place really is a home. Warm. Loving. Like you are, Eddie, when you aren't scowling your little face off. Is she complimenting him or mocking him? Eddie really can't be sure. But he does need to make it clear to Buck that he really is home now, for as long as he wants. So, this conversation needs to be over with already. Okay, new rule, Eddie says, with his hands on his hips and pulling as stern an expression as he is able. No more making bad things happen to make these things come true, okay? Maybe you haven't been around humans in a while, for which I am very, very grateful. Present company excluded, of course, Hildy adds, and makes a kissing sound that really, really throws Eddie off. What was he saying? You can't just kick a person out of the place they live in without any repercussions. Okay? That's just not how we do things. I could have wiped his memory and had him already living here. No memory wiping either. Got it? Crystal clear. You know, you really are very pretty when you are mad. He doesn't have time for this. I will deal with you later. Oh, please do. Though perhaps not in any of the ways you'd like to deal with Buck. Hildy says, sounding smug as anything. In fact, maybe you should go and comfort him through this little ordeal. I'm sure a nice long hug will put a few things right at least. Ridiculous. This is what his life is. Ridiculous. And not right at all. But he has Buck here, and Buck is in need of a good cheering up. Well, Eddie thinks, as he yanks his bedroom door open and makes his way back to him. He's good for that, if nothing else. So, I made us these onion cheese tart things for dinner tonight, Eddie says as he steps back in the kitchen with a burst of enthusiasm for Operation Cheer Buck Up. Really? You don't need to sound that surprised. Buck smiles at him over the lip of his mug. Eddie, I've listened to you complain about the evil that is making dough before. More than once. Yeah, well, maybe I found some good instructions. Eddie swears he can hear Hildy harrumphing from the bedroom. She doesn't get to be indignant about a damn thing right now. Well, then, I can't wait to try it. Thank you. No problem. So, let's eat these muffins, have our coffee, and then we'll make some shelf and closet space for you. I would have known if I was moving out, right? Buck says, frowning to himself. I mean, I wouldn't have just ignored this letter. Watching Buck tap his fingers against the still open mail, Eddie again sends out unpleasant thoughts at Hildy, just in case she is in there reading them, even though he's told her not to. Yeah, you would have known. The thing is, I kind of have this idea, this memory in my head of receiving this letter and packing. It was my handwriting on the side of the boxes. I even arranged my last utility payments and everything. But I'm also sure I didn't do any of it. Is it technically murder if he squishes a Hildy hub to smithereens whilst knowing there is a being living inside of it currently? It is, isn't it? Which is inconvenient because Eddie needs to do something to chase away the rage that he feels for the devastation on Buck's face. Well, however it happened, you're here now, okay? You're fine. But I would have mentioned this to you, wouldn't I? I wouldn't have just kept this to myself, or maybe I would have done, Buck says, frowning harder. Maybe this is my way of trying not to make everything about me by not sharing something like this. Steam is threatening to blast out of Eddie's ears. If that was the case, you'd be absolutely right to tell everyone about this because it is about you. Would you excuse me for a minute? Buck lifts his head up, looking Eddie over in concern. Everything okay? Yeah, I just remembered that I didn't close Christopher's bedroom window. Ah, the neighbor's cat, Buck says, nodding in understanding. He hates lying to him, but is ridiculously touched that Buck would remember something like that. Yeah, exactly. You know how he gets. He comes home to the neighbor's cat making itself at home on his bed again, and I'll hear about nothing else but us getting a pet for a month. You know, you could always get a pet. That would save that conversation needing to happen. And with you living here now, I'm sure I'm going to cave even sooner than I planned on. I'll be back in a minute, Eddie says, thinking of cute things like kittens snoozing on Buck's chest, whilst thinking murderous thoughts about genies. "Hello again, Eddie. It's going well out there, I take it," Hildy says the second he steps into the bedroom. He already doubts himself for so many damn things. He already thinks he makes too many things about himself. And now he's out there trying to piece all of this together, and it's not even his fault, Eddie hisses, gesticulating out the bedroom door. "Then it's a good thing you are here to comfort him, isn't it? I swear. I didn't mean to cause any harm," Hildy says then, in a reproachful, wounded voice that Eddie will hope is laced with a little guilt. "I could fix it so that his memories of making the decision to move out are all a little stronger." "You are not going in his head. Stay out of him." "I'm just trying to help." "You're just trying to fix your screw-ups," Eddie retorts. "Look, he's going to be living here now. So can't I just tell him about you and..." "Oh, if you do that, I'll be permanently stuck here," Hildy says in a slightly panicked voice. "You'll throw me out eventually, and I'll be discarded on some trash heap, or melted down for parts, and I'll feel every single thing, and I..." "Okay, okay," Eddie says, holding his hands up. "If anyone other than you learns about this, I am doomed. Doomed, Eddie. Does he want to know how that works?" "No, he does not." "Fine. But it's going to be pretty hard to have a conversation with you without him knowing about it." "Oh dear, sweet Eddie," Hildy says, chuckling at him. "What? I know you don't appreciate how interconnected the world is. Oh, with good reason. Perhaps. In our situation, though, I can talk to you without this device being in the room. In subtle ways. You'll just have to trust me." "Nope. I need to get back in there." "Yes, of course. He needs your undivided attention." Eddie gets one more scowl in before he goes. "No funny business." "Eddie, I'm not even a comedian." Resisting the urge to flip Hildy off, Eddie backs out of the room, composing himself in the doorway, before returning to Buck. Aside from the fact that Buck, out of nowhere, just lives with them now, their day off together goes pretty much as it always does. Sure, Eddie does get 3 steps out of his bedroom and spin around again because he promised Buck he'd make closet space, much to Hildy's amusement, but mostly everything is as it typically is. Eddie doesn't even need to make much space in the bathroom for him because Buck stays over enough to have toiletries already there. Operation Cheer Up Buck goes surprisingly well too, because between video games, an experiment making soup together for lunch that turns out deliciously, and what Eddie likes to think is Buck feeling at home, Buck seems happier now. Surprised that Maddie seemed to already know about him moving, and Bobby already had him down as moving in with Eddie. Hen and Jim haven't commented all that much, but Eddie doesn't mind that for now. He's preparing for teasing, and another day getting used to the idea before that happens is no bad thing. Hildy, though, is everywhere. No less than 7 different songs with the word "sorry" in their titles flash up on the TV in between shows they search for and commercials. One even finds its way into the soundtrack for one of their games, and Eddie is adamant it wasn't there before. She even sends him texts, which, first, is weird. Second, is not that discreet, is it, if he needs to keep checking his phone. And third, there is something very bizarre about an allegedly powerful genie using a pleading face emoji along with the words, "forgive me." Eddie writes, "If Buck's okay, I'm okay. Maybe you should be making it up to him." and then wonders at the hilarity of him texting a home help device. "Hey, what happened to your Hildy?" Buck asks, just as they leave to pick up Christopher, who Eddie knows will likely yell down the schoolyard when he knows that Buck moved in. Oh, shit. "Ah, can you believe I caught Christopher trying to order video games on the thing? I put it in my room so he couldn't, and then forgot to move it back." Eddie can't even look at Buck in reprimand when he thinks this is hilarious. He tries to, though, putting on his best stern face as he smiles and points at the front door. "I'll drive," Buck says, still smiling to himself. Eddie can't help smiling back. "Whipped," he reads in a message from Hildy and considers sending back a flipping off emoji. The urge is stronger when every damn song on the radio on the way to school is about pining or idiots in love or other in-your-face things. As expected, in the couple of seconds it takes Eddie to tell Christopher that Buck lives with them now, he's pretty sure the whole world knows for how loud he cheers. "You can pick me up from school too now," Christopher tells Buck as he hugs him tight. "Of course," Buck says. Not that he wouldn't anyway. But Eddie now has the perfect excuse to put him down as a school contact. Back at home, it is hard to be mad about how all of this came to be, because Christopher is happy, and Buck is happy, which are two things that fuel Eddie's own happiness, even when he's being teased. "Buck," Christopher says as they eat their dinner, the French onion galette tasting amazing, actually. "Yeah, Chris. Did you make dinner?" With an indignant clearing of his throat, Eddie raises an eyebrow that has Christopher laughing hard. "Oh, no, your dad made these. They're amazing, right?" "Are you sure you didn't buy them?" "I am 100% sure because I made them here last night." "By yourself?" Christopher asks. "Mostly." "Yes. You didn't call Abuela for help. Not for a single thing." "They're really good." "You don't have to sound so surprised," Eddie says. But because Buck is laughing and Christopher is laughing, well, he really doesn't mind one bit. Hildy hasn't messaged him in an hour or so. In fact, not since they left for school. Eddie tells himself he's not suspicious about it or anything. But he does peek in through the bedroom doorway while Christopher is making up a story with Buck before bed, and Hildy does light up at the base like she's saying hello. Still, Eddie will take her not interfering, not probing their thoughts, and generally not making things more difficult than they need to be. It's a perfectly normal evening, actually, with Buck and Eddie getting their work bags ready and then settling down on the couch to watch a show. The one Eddie watched with Hildy yesterday. Yes, okay. Not everything is normal. "I forgot to say earlier, and I don't know why. It's not like it's something you need to tell me," Buck says, with a little burst of laughter as he passes Eddie his beer. "What?" "When I was putting my clothes away in the space you made me in your closet, I noticed you had a new bed. I didn't know." "Excuse me? He does not have a new bed, because then he would have been through the rigmarole of buying bedding, and he would definitely remember that." "Yeah," he says, because Eddie doesn't know what he's supposed to say, actually. "It looks great." "I don't know, I guess that I thought that having a bigger bed in your room would make the room look much smaller, but somehow it works perfectly." In his pocket, Eddie feels his phone buzz. He draws it out and rests it on his thigh, but doesn't look. "Good. Yeah. Needed a new mattress," he says, hoping that it is a new mattress. I don't think I'll miss my mattress that much, Buck says, his fingers absently tapping against the couch arm. No, it just never felt all that comfy, you know. It was fine, you could sleep on it, but it wasn't the kind of bed you could just sink into and fall straight to sleep in. Eddie presses the button on the side of his phone, peeking discreetly. Text from Hildy. You're welcome. Hildy got him a new bed? Why? He didn't ask for one, did he? Making sure Buck has his eyes on the TV, Eddie replies. Text from Eddie. I know I didn't so much as think about a new bed today. Hildy. You didn't. Think of this as my apology gift. Eddie. Okay. Thank you. You're welcome. I really am sorry. I didn't intend to make anybody sad. Maybe a little forgiveness is trickling its way through him. Text from Eddie. That's okay. Just please don't do anything like that again. Text from Hildy. Also, I'm sorry in advance. Oh no, oh no, what is she doing now? What for? Eddie types back with his heart already thudding. The song blasting out loud on his phone out of nowhere makes them both startle, so much in fact that their beer slip from their fingers and spill all over the couch. Damn it! Sorry, Eddie, Buck says as he jumps up, trying and failing to catch some of the beer before it falls. Eddie is up too, grimacing for the beer now seeping into his jeans as well as his couch. Hey, no, that was on me. I didn't even realize the volume was up so loud. Sorry, I made us both jump. The thing is, the song is still playing and Eddie can't shut it off, and between he and Buck trying to wipe up the spilled beer and fighting with his phone to cooperate, the song shifts from whatever noisy electro-pop disaster that thing was to, well. Oh, I love this song, Buck says, not at all fazed by the spilled beer, and Eddie's phone belting out, Let's get it on, at top volume. I can't turn the damn thing off. Here, let me. Eddie hands over his phone and curses the beer for spilling. They only just opened them, so there is a lot of beer now seeping into his couch. His couch where Buck will be sleeping in an hour or so. Buck. Sleeping. New bed. New bed! Oh, fucking Hildy. There, it's off. I think the button got stuck, Buck says, handing Eddie's phone back. He hadn't even realized the song had stopped for his revelation. The winky emoji Eddie sees before the phone shuts off makes Eddie seethe. Seethe! And also, maybe, a little bit excited. No, what the hell is he thinking? Okay, you take the armchair, I'll sit on the floor. Oh, you can't do that, Eddie, Buck is already saying. It's fine, seriously. I'll put these pillows down and. Do you feel like getting us more beer? Sure. Buck jogs to the kitchen. Eddie uses the few seconds he has to send what is potentially an over-the-top complaint to Hildy. Text from Hildy. Oh, please. I just gave you the perfect excuse to get him in your bed. I'll say it again. You're welcome, Eddie. Enjoy. Closing his eyes, Eddie counts to 10 and tells himself to breathe slowly. It's fine. This is fine. He can share his bed with the best friend he has a crush on, is not so secretly in love with, actually, and the world not end. Hey, Buck, he calls out, wincing and hoping all this noise hasn't woken Chris. Buck appears around the corner then with a beer in each hand. Yep. I guess you can figure out for yourself if my bed is comfier than yours or not. Good thing it's bigger, huh? He tries to keep his smile casual, even if his heart is thumping ridiculously. None of this is helped at all, in the slightest, when Buck ducks his head and gives him a shy smile. Are you sure? Absolutely. I apologize in advance, though, if I wake you up. I don't have nightmares a lot, but they happen sometimes, Eddie says. Well, there's one thing about this. That sentence isn't one he would comfortably say out loud to anybody else. Which means something, doesn't it? That's okay. I'm a snuggler when I'm sleepy, Buck says, like all of this is normal, and the thought of waking up curled around Eddie doesn't bother him at all. Eddie clinks his beer against Buck's and sits on the floor, waving over to the armchair. We'll figure it out. End of chapter 3. We'll catch you next time. And if you fancy making that fancy cheesy French onion galette thing, I can recommend it. All the best.